broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web. You're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Good evening, everyone. This is Donna Marks, author of Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, and One Solution. And we're here to help people who either know someone who's struggling with a bad habit, if that's what you prefer to call it, or people who know that they are definitely in trouble and can't seem to break free. And we teach people how to leave their addiction, break up with their addiction like any other bad relationship, because actually all addictions are a substitute for a healthy, loving relationship. So once we learn how to love ourselves and have a healthy relationship with ourselves, that bad habit just kind of falls away. It's no longer of interest. It's just something I used to do. And it doesn't control me anymore. In fact, control is no longer an issue. One of the things we know for sure is that if you have a problem, you are trying to control it. You're trying to control how much you do it. You're trying to control what will happen when you do it. You're trying to control how you'll behave when you're doing it, how you feel after you do it. And it's just that vicious cycle. That's why I call it a maze, because you get stuck in there and you can't get out. We teach people how to get out and to reclaim their lives, to learn how to love themselves and how to be free. And it's not enough just to stop an addiction. A lot of people will stop a behavior. They wind up going back because they're not happy. And there are reasons that a person's not happy. And once you address those reasons and you learn how to overcome whatever is blocking you, whatever the types of thoughts or behaviors or actions or even other relationships that might be preventing you from being happy and keeping you stuck. We want you to be free of those as well. Because if you're not enjoying your life, what's the point? There's no point in giving up something if you're not going to enjoy your life more. The people we work with realize that their lives are better, they're happier, and sometimes that requires doing a little bit of work. The work doesn't have to feel like work. It can feel fun. It can feel pleasant. It can feel enjoyable, because when we're growing and we're embracing that growth, it does feel good. I like to read in between our radio shows, and I believe, as you all know that have been listening to me, that our number one global crisis is addiction, and it's called health problems. It's called COVID, it's called heart disease, it's called stroke, it's called liver disease, it's called everything but addiction. The most recent thing I was came up in my face was I was in a doctor's office yesterday, because I have those annual every 5 or 10 year tests that none of us like, and they were playing these wonderful little videos. They were actually very good. How to, you know, manage stress, and it was funny. I'd just written a blog, and I'm like, yeah, good, they're saying all the same things. They talk about how to take better care of yourself, why good medical care is important, and all these really good things. But while I was watching the little TV show to keep me entertained while I was waiting to see the doctor, they had a little message come up about diabetes. And it said, like, every 3 minutes someone's diagnosed with diabetes. So I did a little research on my own today, and the Diabetes Association says the numbers are staggering. Diabetes isn't just a disease. It's an epidemic affecting over 38 million Americans with devastating consequences. 1.2 million Americans are diagnosed each year. 11.6% of Americans had diabetes in 2023. 97.6 million American adults are living with pre-diabetes. It's just incredible. They have all these, you know, stories on there, And the difference between type 1, which is much more genetic than type 2, and, you know, how to treat it, how to stay healthy, fitness, weight management, medication. But nowhere does it say that often it's the diet that causes the problem. And it's not just our diet. I mean, you know that if you eat too much sugar or have an unhealthy fat content and obesity, then you're much more likely to be in these statistics. However, it's how much of those things that you're eating. And if someone is eating sugar, like I see so many people eat it out of control, they are addicted. We don't want to call it that. No, we don't want to say this person has a sugar or a food addiction. No. We don't want to do that. Instead, we want to say you have a terrible illness and you must manage it through weight, fitness, and medication. What about if we teach children to love their bodies and to eat things that are good for them and to minimize things that aren't good for them? I'm not in favor of deprivation. I think that, you know, I watch mothers, including my own daughter with her children, all the time teaching healthy habits, and they are allowed to have a little piece of candy here and there, but they know that that is a treat. It is not something that they can just binge out on, and they are explained to them it's not good for them and that fruit and grapes and sugar-free popsicles and things like that are the preferred desserts. But we really need to start calling things what they are. Otherwise, if I just have diabetes and I don't recognize why I have it, I don't recognize that I'm eating too much sugar, I'm eating trans fats, I have a high fat content diet, I have weight gain directly related to my habits, and let us redefine addiction, doing the same thing over and over and over again despite negative consequences. And so if I'm eating something that is causing my body to react adversely, that is a negative consequence. If I'm developing obesity, it's not my fault. This is one of the things I try to really drill down on. Addiction is nobody's fault. Things are made to get us addicted. You know, they used to just put regular old sugar in sweets, and now it's high fructose corn syrup or highly refined sugar, because the moment that chemical, and it is a chemical once it's in your body, hits the frontal lobe of your brain, you're off and running. The heart rate increases, you get that little buzz, you get that, ooh, everything's wonderful feeling, and automatically that part of your brain says, more, more, and before you know it, you're looking forward to that sugar, you're looking forward to that drink, you're looking forward to whatever is stimulating that part of your frontal lobe, and that is why people get addicted. It's not a mistake, it's on purpose. This is not a conspiracy, this is scientific fact. You can read it in my book and get all the stats, or you can look it up online for yourself. There are things that are highly addictive, and sugar is one of them. I like to talk about different things every week. One of the other things I talk about is that there's only one addiction. You know, it's that invisible hole that we're all trying to fill, like something's missing in our lives, and how can I fill that emptiness? And that's another reason why addiction is so easy, because once we mask that emptiness or that void with whatever our drug of choice is, we think we're feeling better, and we are substituting feeling good in the moment for feeling good about ourselves all the time. And I like to teach people you can feel good about yourself all the time, even when bad things are happening. So that's what my mission is, to save lives from addiction. It is our number one pandemic problem across the globe. There's a lot of denial about it because you can be addicted and be highly functional. Most people think of addiction as someone who's staggering down the street with a needle, and, you know, they're passed out with a needle in their arm, they're staggering down the street with a brown paper bag, and that is not really what addiction looks like. Addiction looks like you and me, and we're functioning, and we're going along, and everything seems fine on the surface, but down deep, it's not fine, it's not okay, and there is a serious, serious health and mental health problem. I'm going to have a guest on today. His name is Dr. Michael Weiner. I've known him for a long time. He is a colleague, and he's not going to talk about diabetes. He's going to be talking about smart recovery. I'd like to have all kinds of people on talking about all different kinds of topics, because addiction has tentacles in every aspect of society. You know, power, control, even politics. It's not just diet, drugs, alcohol, gambling, sex, and porn. It has many tentacles, and not everybody wants to go to a 12-step program. I think that's very unfortunate, quite frankly. There's so much that's offered in the 12-step programs in terms of personal growth and outgrowing an addiction. But some people prefer more of a cognitive behavioral type of approach, even though the 12-step programs is a behavioral approach. Smart recovery is more of a cognitive behavioral approach. And so some people like that. They prefer it. And so Dr. Michael Weiner, our guest today, is going to be talking about that smart recovery and what it is and the difference between that and AA. And we do want you to call in if you have any questions. And meanwhile, please welcome our guest, Dr. Michael Weiner. Welcome. Michael, how
Hello.
Are you?
Can you hear me okay, Donna?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly. Thank you.
Good.
Thank you for being our guest today. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into smart recovery.
Well, I try to figure out what questions we're going to be asked, and I never thought about that one.
Anyway, well, I never know what I'm going to ask, because I really think that, you know, when things are just spontaneous, the audience can really relate a lot better than if we have questions and answers all written out.
I think you're right. You know, I put down drinking and drugging in 1983, and I did not do it willingly. I'm a person who was given the option of staying in jail or go to treatment. And even when I got that back from Hazleton in Minnesota, what I did at that point was mandated. What was mandated was like 5 12-step meetings a week and 1 counseling session a week. And, you know, I was my motivation at the time was to not go to jail, not go back to jail. So I did whatever I was asked to do, I did.
Out of fear.
No, actually, initially, I was really thinking I was going to start using it again, but I wanted to get these probation people off my back, so
yes.
I did whatever. And
so your motivation at that point was out of fear, not out of self-love.
Yeah, but, if I've had a spiritual awakening, it came several months after that. You know, I was a professor at the Rochester Institute of Technology at the time.
Wow. Now, see, that's important, because a lot of people don't visualize professors at major institutions having these kinds of problems.
Professors are much better at putting them off, denying it, rationalizing, and stuff like that.
Too smart for their own good, huh?
I lived in a town called Canandaigua, about 25 miles from Rochester, and I'm driving home, and I notice I'm going to be late for the 8 o'clock meeting in Canandaigua. So I said to myself, I'll just go to this restaurant where everybody goes after the meeting to have coffee, pie, stuff like that. And at that time, everything stopped. This is just not me. I mean, I'm really not happy about missing the meeting, and now I'm going to go out of my way to hang out with a bunch of people like me for coffee and pie or something. And, you know, life was getting better. I mean,
let me just make sure I understand. You were going to some court-ordered, jumping through some hoops. You had to go to some meetings. You had to go to a counselor. You had to address your substance abuse problem. And
exactly.
After a few months, when you couldn't actually make it to a meeting, you found yourself thinking, I can still socialize with them after the meeting with coffee and dessert and that kind of thing. And that
exactly.
shocked you.
It did, because this was not like me. And I started paying attention to the parts of my life that were getting better. People were treating me respectfully, and that was kind of new. And I was paying off some bills. I was working, and there came a time when I just said to myself, well, maybe I just ought to keep doing this. And I did it. I went to, you know, over the years, it's been, I don't know, however long 1983 was. Over the years, I've gotten to a lot of AA meetings. Sometimes I've got away from them a little, but I never really got away from them. And, you know, I did have something to do with starting Smart Recovery, I'd say in the north part of Palm Beach County. But the reason was, I was not in any way opposed to Alcoholics Anonymous. Actually, at the time, what was happening, I was managing a relatively high cost residential care. And, you know, every night, you know, we would take people to, you know, local Oasis Club, let's say. Half the people would go, half the people would not go. They just refused. So then, talk about higher. I was sober coaching somebody and took me to my first Smart Recovery meeting. But anyway, just once we instituted Smart in the evening, half the people went to Smart, half the people went to 12-step. There was, you know, something for everyone, and people didn't feel forced to go to any particular one. So,
they had a choice.
Yeah. And anyway, those meetings, we did two meetings a week, one on Palm Beach and one on Prosperity Farms Road at a Unitarian church. And I tell you, before the pandemic, the Saturday meeting was hitting 25, you know, 20 to 30 people. And the one on Palm Beach was probably hitting 15 to 20. Then the pandemic hit. And, well, what happened, we brought the Smart meetings to Zoom. And currently there are three Zoom Smart meetings available to anyone who might want to go. So, you know, I think it made the difference between AA and SMART. You might say AA is spiritually based, SMART is cognitive behaviorally based. And,
well, tell us what a SMART recovery meeting is like. How would someone find it? What would they do when they're there?
Well, the easy way to find it is just to go to the smartrecovery.org, and you can look for
meetings.
Okay, just
Google it.
You know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just www.smartrecovery.org.
Okay.
And you'd be able to find local meetings. The ones that I still go to are Monday, Thursday, Saturday at noon. And they're smaller than they once were, but they've been very consistent. Sometimes, Don, I think, 1930s or, you know, when Alcoholics Anonymous was put together, the country was very religiously / spiritually oriented. There was a lot going on. Nowadays, you might say, we might be trend towards cognitive behavioral. You know, but if AA was formed today, it would reflect the culture. So, I continue to go. You know, I'll tell you, this is weird. It's been like 35, 40 years.
I'm using your timeline as like 41 years. But, Michael, tell us, if I walk into a 12-step meeting, it could be small. There could be over 100 people in there. It could be two people. But they follow 12 steps. And we're not going to go into that today, but tell us if I walked into a SMART recovery meeting, would it be online? Would it be in person? What would it look like? What would it be like?
Well, it would look like the person who's facilitating them now is a man named Roy. And, you know, facilitators take some minimal level of training from SMART recovery. But he facilitates the meeting. And he would start out by saying something like, well, welcome to SMART Recovery. And he might go into saying, you know, we're helping people to abstain from actually whatever negative behavior they're involved in.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't necessarily even have to be an addiction. It just be something that they want to change.
Yeah, there's one particular person who has shopping addiction, gambling.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it seems like, you know, the biggest common denominator is alcohol, but anybody wishing to change a behavior would be welcome. And
nice.
There are no labels.
I like that. So you don't have to go to 15 different programs dealing when the addiction switches around on you.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good,
you know, some
point.
People
are
like me.
Problem.
I surfed all over the, you know, map because one of them went away and then something else popped up. So
yeah.
That's why I say there's just one addiction. So that's kind of nice
that
you can go to Smart Recovery and address whatever it is you want to address.
Yeah. But so, you know, he would say there's no labels. He would say, we're going to do a check-in first. And a check-in would be everybody gets to say their name if they want to put something on the agenda for that meeting. So if it came to me, I might say, yeah, I'm Michael, and I'd like to talk about anxiety and depression. Okay, so that would go up on the board. Somebody else might say, yeah, I want to talk about taking medication, so that would go up on the board.
Okay.
And
people get to address whatever they'd like to address.
Yeah. And
okay. Michael, we're going to have to take a break, but we will have you just stand by, please. Don't hang up.
Sure, I will.
After the break, we will continue what it's like when you go to a Smart Recovery meeting. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome. I'll hold.
Join our movement by becoming a member of the Exit the Maze Alliance. Your membership will provide the extra help needed to restore your mental health and the joyous life you were meant to have. You'll even have access to a live monthly webinar with Dr. Donna Marks, free meditations, access to her blogs, and other special perks not available elsewhere. For only $12 a month, you can be part of the exclusive Exit the Maze Alliance. Sign up now at drdonnamarks.com. There's no better time to get your life back than right now.
It's frustrating staying in the same pattern, doing the same thing over and over and over again and still getting the same results. Well, how would you like to break that pattern, change that mindset with just a three-step process? Imagine turning reactions into healing actions and mistakes into blessings. Well, now you can with Dr. Donna Marks' book, Learn, Grow, Forgive. Get it now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. That's Learn, Grow, Forgive by Dr. Donna Marks. You'll be glad you did.
Flip your switch to the healing moment and you'll turn your messes into miracles. Dr. Donna Marks combines her expertise in psychology and spirit in her new book, The Healing Moment, to provide you a valuable, easy-to-use toolkit for a better life. With her book, The Healing Moment, you'll discover how to change your fear to love and finally be able to take control over your life. Get closer to your healing moment by purchasing Dr. Donna Marks' book, The Healing Moment, at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and find bookstores everywhere.
Here's a fact I bet you didn't know. There's only one addiction. It just has many faces. But in spite of the many treatments, of the many kinds of addictions, something's not working. Addiction is only increasing. Dr. Marks says every addiction is a substitute for love, and until you learn how to replace addiction with self-love, you'll remain addicted. Now you can overcome addiction with self-love and get rid of it for good with Exit the Maze, a book by Dr. Donna Marks. Your first step towards true recovery. Buy Exit the Maze at Amazon.com. BarnesandNoble.com, and find bookstores everywhere.
With so many wonderful authors appearing as guests on HealthyLife.net, you can easily support their work by browsing the Barnes & Noble link on our advertiser page. Browse for books or even an ebook, DVDs, movies, music, games, gift cards, and more. Find the Barnes & Noble link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
Okay, Okay, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Dr. Michael Weiner on Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, One Solution. And Dr. Weiner, before the break, you were telling us about someone would come to a smart recovery meeting, different people in the room would pick topics, the group leader would write them on the board. So what happens
then? That's exactly true. And the group leader would also say things like, smart recovery emphasizes four main areas of living. One of those areas is the motivation to remain abstinent from whatever behavior you want to change. The other one is dealing with urges. The next one, solving sort of everyday problems. And the fourth area is living a balanced life. And, you know, I would recommend anybody could order a SMART handbook, because I've known a lot of therapists who, it doesn't matter whether you're doing 12-step or SMART, the exercises in those handbooks are really, really good.
There is a handbook for SMART recovery?
Yeah, there's a handbook and there's tools in each section, for example. Like, the section on motivation might have a tool saying, like, where do I want to be in life in 2 years from now? And then the next question might be, what have I got to do to get there? Well, for me, getting anywhere, I had to be abstinent, and otherwise I would get nowhere.
Right.
So that would be under motivation. If you get to urges, they really begin to talk about rational versus irrational thoughts. Like a person might have an urge, and most person might say, "Oh, I'm having an urge. I'm not doing well in recovery. I may as well pick up." Well, that's an irrational thought, you know. And you might even say a compounding irrational thought would be, "Well, I've already picked up. I might as well go full tilt." It's irrational. Rationally, most people would agree that an urge will last, 20 minutes maybe. It's not a big deal. Maybe 30. But also, somebody might say, I just can't do this, or I've blown my recovery, all of which are irrational thoughts, you know. Rational thoughts do include, this is going to take 20 to 30 minutes. You know, if a person says this urge is the worst thing that's ever happened, it's not. Most people who come to support group meetings, they've dealt with a whole lot more. And so that would be in the urge section.
And most people, let me just interject for a second here.
There you go.
Most people would agree that having an uncomfortable feeling for 20 or 30 minutes is certainly more desirable than the remorse that will follow slipping backwards and relapsing.
Correct.
Okay.
And by the way, you talk about like even language changes. Sort of, I try to talk to people about recovery management as opposed to relapse. There's a lot less shame, associated with that. But anyway, there's a number for.
Well, that's interesting. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? Recovery. What you were just saying, as opposed to relapse, recovery management.
Oh, yeah. This is not necessarily just part of SMART recovery. It's, trying to get rid of or change some of the labels we've used in the past that, sometimes become shameful in a way.
Uh-huh.
And relapse is one of those words. I mean, we spend all our lives relapse prevention. Like, relapse is the God's worse than a hurricane. You know?
Yeah. Well, I like the phrase research and development.
recovery management, and it kind of means I might be digressing here a little bit, but
that's okay.
I try to look at. I've been trying to help people and. It's probably a trend for people to really look at recovery that they look at any other disorder. And if I'm getting too far off here, Donna, just tell me. But You know, a lot of times right now, somebody's family might say to a person, you need to go to treatment. Whether they're severe entity disorder or mild, they all do the same thing. They all go to treatment. Well, maybe a better way to do it would be for that person to, you know, go to a therapist who really can really assess what level of care that person needs. And if you look at the ASAM categories, the person needs detox, what are the medical issues, emotional issues, motivation, risk that that person starts using again, and recovery environment. You know, like, so let's say a person has a medical issue and they have pancreatitis. That's probably a good reason for a person to start in residential. You know, but let's say it's also a person who's really been abstinent for a couple of years and picks up again. Well, hopefully that person might not need a detox. Let's say medically they're okay. Emotionally, they might feel a little down or depressed. You know, if they did pick up again, yeah, it could be a real negative. But then let's say you have a really supportive recovery environment. And, you know, I think we need to get to a point where assessments need to be done. Nowadays, you know, I do go to AA meetings, and I cringe when people say, when I was in treatment. Every other chronic disorder I know of, you're always in treatment.
Right.
You know, like, my wife, she's had hypertension, you know. One time it got really bad, so the symptoms indicated hospitalization. And then when the symptoms became milder, she started doing outpatient work. And for the rest of her life, she's going to be monitored.
Correct.
And I think a certain extent, some type of a model similar to that one might evolve for us as well, because...
Well, I think we have that model. It's just that it's not stressed enough that this is a lifelong... You know, once your brain has adapted to being addicted, then the line is crossed, and you're going to need that ongoing support, just like you said, with high blood pressure, heart disease, kidney disease, whatever the case may be.
Yeah. And so, you know, those are some of the changes I hope to see, you know, we're going toward.
Well, also, that it's a very positive thing. It's not like a negative thing that you have to continue to get help the rest of your life. It's an exciting thing because what do these programs offer people?
Well, you know something, you know, in the section that in the SMART handbook on managing problems, a lot of it is devoted to language. So if somebody says to me, you know, or if I start thinking, well, I have to go to a meeting, I don't really have to. It's the choice I make, you know. I really might rather stay home and watch the football game, but, you know, I'm going to make the choice to do something other than what I really want to do. And I try to get away from words like should. You've all heard this before, but...
I think you gave a perfect example of that earlier, Michael, when you said... You should go to that meeting, but you just couldn't do that night. But I could go have coffee and dessert with them after the meeting.
Exactly. Okay.
Mm. Yeah, so that was that shift in your perception and the way you were looking at it, the way you were thinking about it.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times at meetings, people, you know, don't want people who are mandated there, or some people won't sign a person's slip that says they're there. Well, that's the way I started. So, you know, so it works for some of us anyway.
You know, the interesting thing is that sometimes the things we don't want to do or don't want, if we just open up the least little bit, you know, like maybe there's a reason I'm here. Maybe I could get something out of this while I'm here, even if I don't choose to stay.
Yeah.
Maybe I could just learn a little tidbit of information here that might help me in the future. You know, just at least a little bit, just crack that door of the mind open, just the teeniest little bit, and all kinds of wonderful things can happen just from that. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, you're listening to the radio show. Our guest is Dr. Michael Weiner. This is X is the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, One Solution. And we will be back shortly. Thank you.
All right.
It's frustrating staying in the same pattern, doing the same thing over and over and over again and still getting the same results. Well, how would you like to break that pattern, change that mindset with just a three-step process? Imagine turning reactions into healing actions and mistakes into blessings. Well, now you can with Dr. Donna Mark's book, Learn, Grow, Forgive. Get it now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. That's Learn, Grow, Forgive by Dr. Donna Marks. You'll be glad you did.
Join our movement by becoming a member of the Exit the Maze Alliance. Your membership will provide the extra help needed to restore your mental health and the joyous life you were meant to have. You'll even have access to a live monthly webinar with Dr. Donna Marks, free meditations, access to her blogs, and other special perks not available elsewhere. For only $12 a month, you can be part of the exclusive Exit the Maze Alliance. Sign up now at drdonnamarks.com. There's no better time to get your life back than right now.
Here's a fact I bet you didn't know. There's only one addiction. It just has many faces. But in spite of the many treatments, of the many kinds of addictions, something's not working. Addiction is only increasing. Dr. Marks says every addiction is a substitute for love, and until you learn how to replace addiction with self-love, you'll remain addicted. Now you can overcome addiction with self-love and get rid of it for good with Exit the Maze, a book by Dr. Donna Marks. Your first step towards true recovery. Buy Exit the Maze at Amazon.com. BarnesandNoble.com, and find bookstores everywhere.
Flip your switch to the healing moment and you'll turn your messes into miracles. Dr. Donna Marks combines her expertise in psychology and spirit in her new book, The Healing Moment, to provide you a valuable, easy-to-use toolkit for a better life. With her book, The Healing Moment, you'll discover how to change your fear to love and finally be able to take control over your life. Get closer to your healing moment by purchasing Dr. Donna Marks' book, The Healing Moment, at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and find bookstores everywhere.
I love food, and I love to eat. The cooking and cleaning part, not so much. Then I found a link to the chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page, and I was happy to find all sorts of amazing recipes and tips on cooking, in addition to great chef-quality kitchen equipment and savings as well. Now I look forward to my time in the kitchen thanks to chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Remember, positive impact. www.healthylife.net.
Welcome back to Exit the Maze. This is Dr. Donna Marks, and we are talking about smart recovery. We have a very special guest today, Dr. Michael Weiner, who has been a force in the recovery community for decades. And he has been a facilitator and a person who has really helped the smart recovery movement. And he's been telling us the difference between 12-step programs and smart recovery. And then right before the break, he was telling us some very positive things about smart recovery. So can you go on with what, you know, what you like about it, what how people can benefit?
One of the things
that really impressed me very much is you said any kind of issue, like would somebody with obsessive-compulsive disorder, I think all addictions are that,
but
you know, wash their hands too much or have to check their locks five times before they leave, feel like there's germs everywhere, would this benefit them as well?
Yeah. Anybody, you know, anybody is welcome. If I would actually encourage people to try a couple of meetings, and if it's working, it's working. And it also,
any kind of behavior that they feel they have lost control over.
It could be anger. It could be a bunch of different things.
Anger.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good one. Have you had somebody come to control their anger? Come to the meeting?
I once asked somebody, I said, can you tell me an instance when anger has helped you? And they can't think of one, you know? So it's just, I don't know. Smart recovery is very accepting. Like I said, the categories of motivation, urges, dealing with everyday life problems, and that's where we do get into shoulds and have to or must. And, you know, I guess there are some times in life that maybe the word have to might apply, but, it's pretty rare. And, you know, the other...
So let me just stop for a second. So the shoulds and the musts, like, you should never get angry. I should never get angry. You should always do what I want you to do. You should always do this. I should always do that. Or how come you're thinking this way? Or how come you're doing that? That's all irrational. And so when I learn how to say it would, you know, it would be nice if everybody were perfect all the time, but that's not reality.
We make choices all the time. And,
like, I can do this, and I could do the opposite, which is going to make me feel better about myself.
And, you know, if you choose, let's say you don't go to a meeting. I mean, you just know I'm choosing not to go, and, you know, that's a choice you've made. And,
I'm responsible.
That's it, you know? Anger, you know, like you said about anger, a lot of it is just, if somebody could find a way that anger has helped them, you know, by all means, do it. But anyway, then we get into...
Well, the only thing that comes to my mind, if someone's, you know, abusing a child, to have that energy to step in and intervene. But I guess you could convert it into passion instead of anger.
Oh, yeah, but it's, you know, I'm not saying I'm angry. If I saw somebody, I hurt a child or hurt an animal, I would get angry. And so, you know, I guess the thing in smart recovery is that nobody does anything perfectly.
Right.
You know, and then the last area is living a balanced life. And there's a tool there called the balance wheel. And it's just a way of, you know, you could look at it. It's like, it's like a pie. And how much time are you spending on this? How much time are you spending on that? And then you could take a look at how do you want to change your balanced pie? And then, what do I got to do it? And by the way, I forgot one thing. When it comes to, I think it was motivation or under the topic of motivation, there's something there called the behavior change worksheet. And I'll give you an example of how it works. You know, I've been having some mobility issues lately, for the past couple of years, really, and one guy, I've been telling people at Smart that I do exercises and stuff, and this guy, a friend of mine named John, just says, you've really been dilly-dallying around that for a couple of years. You know, you do them, you don't do them.
It's not consistent.
Yeah. So I use the behavior change sheet, and it asks me things like, how important is changing this behavior? Well, walking would be very important, you know?
Yeah.
And, it's also, when I did the sheet, I realized it's more than just saying I'm going to exercise. It's like setting a time for it. So in the morning, I'd have my coffee. I always have my coffee and read the paper. Now I have my coffee, exercise, and read the paper. I'm just trying to make it a part of my life.
Yeah.
And then it asks you things like, who are the people who could help you do this? The people at Smart, Liz can certainly help me do this. It's more than a New Year's resolution. How are you going to measure your progress? And, the people who go to the Smart group, we get to know each other, so. I'm going to let people know how I'm doing. And I'm sure it's not going to be perfect, but the kind of feedback I get is like, it's more like good nature or stuff like that. A lot of times people say, hey, it's 2024, I'm going to stop drinking that year. But do a behavior change form and see, what you really need to do, to get that started. And, one thing about Smart Recovery, too, it relies on motivational research. And Smart will say that if you change a behavior, it's going to take about 5 years before it's stamped in. I mean, when I say stamped in, it becomes an automatic part of you. This is what you do. And, you know, to a certain extent, going to support group meetings, it's ingrained. I'm going to do it. If I don't do it, there's something missing from my life. And you know, SMART suggests you do meetings for maybe 5 years and then assess where you want to go. Well, I still go.
It's been about 40 years, so it's a wonderful thing. You know, I've never been to any type of recovery meeting where I didn't walk away with something good in my pocket.
Yeah.
How important are the other people in SMART recovery to the person who's going? Do they make friends, or did they just all kind of keep to themselves? Or?
Well, you know something that, you know, over the, you know, actually, some of us were going to meet to the meetings in person. So,
they have in-person and online meetings.
No, it used to. We don't have any. They have some in-person ones down in Delray.
Okay, is this a national thing or a worldwide thing, or is it just in Palm Beach County?
SMART is really worldwide. It's actually
okay. So it depends on the community in which you live whether you would go online or go in person.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some people do both.
Yeah.
One person said, I go to AA for my spirituality, and I come to SMART just to get my thinking straight.
Okay.
Yeah,
I like that.
That was a pretty good assessment.
One for the mind and one for the spirit.
Yeah. And then, by the way, the meetings generally last an hour. If it's a big meeting, it might last a little longer, but, you know, toward the end of the meeting, Roy would say, okay, let's check out. So people would say, hey, this is what I got for the meeting. Thank you. I'm going to try this stuff. And then that's how it ends, with checkouts. And, you know, that's how it works. It's, the people there, it's a pretty highly educated, accomplished people. I hate to say that. Actually, but it's not entirely true either. So it might have been that at one time, but we have a guy who lives in Washington State who comes to our meetings. And for us, it's noontime. For him, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. And let me tell you, I really applaud that guy. I mean, I think he's doing all right.
Well, some people are more committed than others, and you get out of anything what you put into it. We're going to have to take another break now. You're listening to Dr. Michael Weiner, who's talking about SMART recovery, and we will be back in a couple of minutes. This is Dr. Donna Marks with Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, One Solution, and we shall return shortly. Please stay with us.
Flip your switch to the healing moment and you'll turn your messes into miracles. Dr. Donna Marks combines her expertise in psychology and spirit in her new book, The Healing Moment, to provide you a valuable, easy-to-use toolkit for a better life. With her book, The Healing Moment, you'll discover how to change your fear to love and finally be able to take control over your life. Get closer to your healing moment by purchasing Dr. Donna Marks' book, The Healing Moment, at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and find bookstores everywhere.
Here's a fact I bet you didn't know. There's only one addiction. It just has many faces. But in spite of the many treatments, of the many kinds of addictions, something's not working. Addiction is only increasing. Dr. Marks says every addiction is a substitute for love, and until you learn how to replace addiction with self-love, you'll remain addicted. Now you can overcome addiction with self-love and get rid of it for good with Exit the Maze, a book by Dr. Donna Marks. Your first step towards true recovery. Buy Exit the Maze at Amazon.com. BarnesandNoble.com, and find bookstores everywhere.
Join our movement by becoming a member of the Exit the Maze Alliance. Your membership will provide the extra help needed to restore your mental health and the joyous life you were meant to have. You'll even have access to a live monthly webinar with Dr. Donna Marks, free meditations, access to her blogs, and other special perks not available elsewhere. For only $12 a month, you can be part of the exclusive Exit the Maze Alliance. Sign up now at drdonnamarks.com. There's no better time to get your life back than right now.
It's frustrating staying in the same pattern, doing the same thing over and over and over again and still getting the same results. Well, how would you like to break that pattern, change that mindset with just a three-step process? Imagine turning reactions into healing actions and mistakes into blessings. Well, now you can with Dr. Donna Mark's book, Learn, Grow, Forgive. Get it now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. That's Learn, Grow, Forgive by Dr. Donna Marks. You'll be glad you did.
You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, One Solution. This is Dr. Donna Marks, and our guest tonight is Dr. Michael Weiner, who's teaching us about smart recovery. And, Michael, during the break, we were talking about how sometimes when people go to 12-step meetings and they have to say, I'm an addict or I'm a sex addict or I'm an alcoholic, that can really be a deterrent because some people just don't see themselves as that, number one. And number two, it's very limiting, and you don't want to be saying that the rest of your life. One of the nice things about smart recovery is you just go in and say, hi, I'm Donna, I'm Michael, and you talk about the specific behavior change you want to make. Is that correct?
Exactly, yeah. If somebody was to really press me, I would say, well, you know, I have a substance use disorder, but that for many, many
years... What's a substance use disorder mean? What does that mean?
Well, you know,
for those of us
if you look at the most recent DSM, or a lot of places, you might, if you look in the, I think a recent diagnostic and statistical manual, they encourage the use of substance use disorder. So if my drug, if I was using a lot of alcohol, I might say to someone, you know, I have a substance use disorder regarding alcohol. But, you know, when I said, my name is Michael, I'm an alcoholic, that's all I was. I was a big ball of an alcoholic. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I say I have a substance use disorder, sometimes I might say alcohol use disorder. it means it's something that I have. It's something I got to deal with.
It's not like, you. It's something that you have, yeah.
Yeah,
I feel like there should be, like, in 12 steps, I feel like we should have one meeting called, you know, Addictions Anonymous, and the person can say, I'm suffering from, you know, addiction.
Yeah.
Not I'm an addict, I'm suffering, and I'm here to get well.
They don't have to say that at all. So, anyway, I mean, it's like I said, my wife has hypertension, but she never says, my name is Liz, and I'm hypertension. You know, or
right.
Person doesn't say... my name is Joe, and I'm diabetes.
Right. So let's say you would go to the meeting, and you have you recognize you have a problem with substances. But let's just say you recognize you have a problem with alcohol. How would you address the other? Like, would you have to worry about pills, or would you have to worry about pot, or would you have to worry about opiates, or anything else?
Well, you know, something that would be topics that would be openly discussed at a smart meeting. Like, I think I mentioned I once, fairly recently, I raised an issue of, you know, using medications, you know. And, you know, actually, there have been some people who have come to our smart meeting who have done medical marijuana. You know, they don't get put down. I mean, that's what they choose to do at this point. And everything has to do with your level of functioning. There, you know, people
progress.
Make choices.
They focus on the progress, not
anybody's
on the limitations.
Welcome. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, I guess one of the things, you know, we have Roy who facilitates the three meetings a week here, you know, all over, three Zoom meetings. Roy, you know, nearly took a 30-hour training course to be a facilitator. But, you know, he's every Monday, Thursday, and Saturday, he's there to facilitate three times a week. That's a rare find.
That's
so
beautiful. That's a huge
commitment. It really is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I think I did say before, I did go to Alcoholics Anonymous. I got a lot from Alcoholics Anonymous. It kept me abstinent for a lot of time. And like I think I said before, I wasn't crazy about it, but I live in a world, man. I watched the Super Bowl. I mean, how much drinking went on in those commercials?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I live in a world like you do. Drinking is like incredible. Only
right, and like I was
go,
saying, I don't like I always start off my show. If you're addicted, it's not your fault because things are made to get you that way. We get programmed, we get reinforced by the amount of content of the substance, and it's designed to get us addicted. It's not a substances or any addiction isn't like so you'll have be a casual gambler or a casual porn site visitor. You know, it's designed to get in that part of your brain. That starts wanting to hit that lever more and more and more.
You know something, if people want to, for anybody who wants to Google, you don't have to like MSNBC, but there was a guy named, if somebody wanted to Google Chris Hayes MSNBC alcohol use, man, I'll tell you, they did some research on, some enormous percentage of the alcohol consumed in this country is consumed by people who are probably problematic. You know, most people, when most people say I'd like to have a drink, they really mean it, you know. And to me, that drink is never ending.
Right. Well, one of the things I always start off the show with, it's our number one global crisis is addiction.
No doubt.
People are eating, drinking, smoking, gambling, sexing, or whatever they're doing, spending to the point that there's negative consequences over and over and over again, damage to their mental and physical health. That's the real issue, and we're covering it up with all these medications and this and that and diagnosis and everything else when the real cause is never addressed.
No, it's the drug.
I was just doing a little thing on diabetes. I mean, the sugar intake in this country and the obesity problems from high-content, bad fat foods. It said, like, I was reading the statistics on the diabetes and pre-diabetes. So it's like I was in the doctor's office yesterday. They were talking, like, every 3 minutes somebody gets diagnosed with either pre-diabetes or diabetes. Yeah. This is staggering. This is crazy.
You know, compared to
97.6 million Americans.
Wow.
That's crazy. That's a fifth of our population.
Yeah. You might say diabetics actually have more recurrences than we do. I mean, but nobody ever puts them down for it.
Right.
I mean, this is blood pressure.
Putting people down is never the solution. Teaching people how to love themselves is a solution.
Yeah,
and that has to start.
Really,
you know, I was at a meeting the other day with some future, I don't even want to go into that, but I was saying, you know, addiction starts in utero. Like, it starts with how baby's being cared for from the moment of conception. And, you know, we've got to shift a lot here in our consciousness. You know, we're taking the insanity and the death and the consequences and working backwards rather than working forwards from that moment of that life.
You know, some time ago, actually, when I was still in New York, we used to get some referrals from a local community college of kids who might have drank too much alcohol. But one of the things I kind of started to think about back then, you know, the thing that might distinguish a person who can stop from a person who can't seems to be family history. Like you said, in utero.
Right.
You know?
Well, Dr. Weiner, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. We're going to wrap it up. Is there any last words that you would like to share with the audience tonight?
Yeah. If anybody wants to, you know, email me at mikesmbk@yahoo.com, feel free. And I just got a new computer, so I got to set it up. But you could use that email address. And
could you repeat that again?
I hope everybody enjoyed this program.
Could you? Yes. Could you say that again?
Mike. F as in Frank. M as in Michael. BK as in Burger King. At yahoo.com.
Okay, that was very clear.
From Mike from Brooklyn at yahoo.com.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being. We'll have you on again sometime, and it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank
and
you.
We'd like to thank all our listeners to attending tonight, and those of you that are listening after the recording. This is Dr. Donna Marks, and we hope to see you next month. We're on the second Tuesday of every month at 5 p.m. Eastern. Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, One Solution. Please feel free to register on my email at drdonnamarks.com. Have a wonderful evening, and please love yourself now and always. Bye.
That's great. Thank you, Donna. Bye.